Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro, and you wonder, retail sales jump while credit cards dump? What the heck is going on? We've got that. We've got economic data. We've got dealer inventory data, import data, credit data, manufacturing. It's day to day on the Macro Show, and let's get right into our headline topic of, you know, what's going on with retail sales? All of a sudden, you have this big jump, and we'll look at that data, huge jump in retail sales. At the same time, consumers were paying off their credit cards. I mean, what does that tell you about the transitory effects of this retail sales data? It gives you the impression that consumers realize this was a one shot. This is here. Here's your stimulus check, and that's it. So you better go spend some of it, and you better pay off your debt. Because when Americans are confident about their financial future, and they believe their wages are going to increase, or even if they're going to just maintain their wages, they will take on more debt. But when they're less confident about the economy, they pay down their debt, and that's dangerous. So what's driving the economy in terms of all this excitement is just this one massive stimulus boost to the economy. And when it rolls over, which we'll find out, you know, in the months to come, if we're right about the lag on the CPI and the ISM prices paid, we should be seeing a peak in inflation this month. Maybe it may roll into next month, but we should be seeing the peak of inflation. We talked about on Wednesday's show that the bond market is already figuring that out. I mean, you know, it's kind of starting to rally a little bit in the face of very, very bad data. I mean, at least bad for bonds, but hey, you know what? In that case, we'll put the crown on for the show. Let's get right into the economic data. There's some great stuff in here. So one of the things that's helping the bond market is Japan. And you see foreign bond buying. Now, when they say foreign, it does not imply all U.S. Treasury. So any bond that is foreign to Japan, and this is including all of Japan, they bought $1.7 trillion worth of bonds. I believe this is last month is the data. And that is, well, frankly, pretty darn impressive. Remember, we talked about how the fiscal quarter or fiscal year ends in Japan and starts out on April 1st of them buying bonds, and boom, there they are, they're buyers. How about South Korea? This is a big export nation. They are a, you know, producer TVs, cars, electronics, things like that. Exports up 16.5%. So we're seeing, you know, economic rebound. You know, you want to see that from the exporters. And in order to manage their exports, what are they going to need? Well, they're going to need imports, raw materials, 18.8%. up on year-over-year basis. Let's continue to move into the Thursday data. Germany finally seeing some inflation on the year-over-year rate, 1.7%. It's going to be a little tough for the European economy. I know there's still parts of it that are in really bad shape. And how about coming in France, also year-over-year up 1.1%. So again, we're seeing, you know, inflation going across Europe. How about down in Italy, up 0.8%. So a little more inflation. So inflation coming back, what could be the driver of this inflation in Europe? Could it have to do to the weaker dollar? I mean, a stronger dollar. Yeah, I got caught myself there. Could it have to do with the dollar strengthening a bit against the euro? Yeah, probably has a fair amount to do with that. And so keep an eye on the dollar. And that the more it heads higher, the more inflation Europe's going to see. Let's move on into the U.S. data. We've got jobless claims. Now, finally, I want to look at the import and export data. This was from Tuesday. I didn't scroll back far enough on my charts. Now, this is kind of fun. I like to chart import prices against the consumer price index. It would be really cool from a projection standpoint in terms of being accurate or more accurate about the CPI is if import prices came out before the CPI, and they don't, they come out the day or two afterwards. And so what do you see? Import prices in blue up. And you can see this relationship between the CPI and import prices. It's pretty tight. I mean, it's not perfectly correlated, but you can get a very strong picture. When import prices are rising, well, the consumer price index is rising. And so what is this telling us at the moment? That there's still a potential for the CPI to go higher. But when we start and overlay the dollar against that. So here's a trade weighted dollar. You start to get a picture of, wait a minute, when the dollar starts to bottom, so here's a bottom, it starts to put some downward pressure on the CPI. Here the dollar bottoms, dropped the CPI down. Here the dollar's bottoming, and that was enough to bring the CPI back down. Here it worked again, and here it worked again. In fact, if you're having a little trouble seeing that, well, why don't we just invert the dollar? Because it'd be really easy to do. And if you're using a Fred charts, all you have to do is go and put a minus sign in front of the formula. And just like magic, there it goes. So what you can see here is, as soon as this goes away, if it will, that a rising dollar puts downward pressure on the consumer price index. So this is very interesting because we can go and take a look at the dollar and see, hey, what's going on with the dollar right now? And it is, forming a bottoming pattern here, looking like it's gonna tag its 50-day moving average, maybe go up. We'll talk more about that, of course, on the Sunday Night Chart Show. A lot to talk about bonds on that show as well coming up. All right, so let's continue on with the pandemic and unemployment claims data. Initial claims finally fell below 700,000, a big drop, went from 769 to 576,000 initial claims. This is a big deal. You know, now when I look at this data, is 567,000 or 76,000 still way too high? Yeah, it's way too high. What I want to know at this point is when that number drops to the 200,000 to 300,000 range. Now, in my opinion, if we're really seeing an economic recovery here where people are going back to work and keeping their jobs, what I'd really like to see is that number under 200,000, maybe 100, 150,000 claims. Because what that's telling you is there's a lot of people going back into the workforce. And because there's such a demand to keep them in the workforce, they're keeping their jobs. It's not, you know, rotating door where they're in and right back out on the unemployment line. What I want to know is when that number drops down to 200,000 to 300,000 claims, what is the total of other unemployment claims going to be? Because here, when you factor pandemic claims, which is huge, this is a big drop, 1.2 million down to 17 million claims. You know, what if this drops to 200,000 to 300,000, which is the normal turnover in our economy, and you still have, say, you know, 12 million people on unemployment? It tells you that the demand for labor would be tapped out because, well, you want that number under 200,000 to show there's just a huge demand for labor. Let's go on to, we have the New York Empire State Manufacturing Index and the Philadelphia Fed Manufacturing Index. What's going on in the manufacturing sector? Well, all kinds of good things. If you look at these diffusion indexes. Now, when you read a diffusion index, it's a change over the prior month. So it's not a year over year, it's just a change over the prior month. Let's start with New York. Look at the general business conditions. So you see 8.9% of firms, you know, reporting better business conditions. New orders up 17.8% of firms. So this is a little different than the ISM. So you see percent reporting higher. New orders strong. Shipments up a little bit. How about unfilled orders? Do you want to talk about where you really get inflation from? And this is what you get, is you get it in the unfilled orders. So, you know, I obviously don't own a factory because I got wood paneling in the back. But let's say I ran a factory and I just have my order book just stacked up, right? And I've got my factory running, you know, full shift, second shift, third shift, bonus shifts, extra shifts, I've got this thing just humming and my order backlog. What does that tell you I need to do? Yeah, I need to raise my prices. It tells you there is demand. It tells you there is inflation coming. That's what you want to see. So when you see these unfilled orders and look how high they are, you know, going back to 2015, it tells you, wow, they might be peaking out here. And 17% of firms have reported an increase in unfilled orders. But look at the interesting relation right below that of delivery times. You know, you see almost similar numbers, 16.7% of firms reported an increase in delivery times. But what is it telling you is they can't get the stuff to the customer fast enough because of, you know, what's going on in the economy, and, you know, shipping is a big problem right now. Inventory, 3.5% of firms reported more inventories. How about, you know, prices paid, right? So this is something we're really interested in because you look, prices paid, highest level in 15 years, 10% of firms reported higher prices paid in April, but look at prices received, lagging way behind. And what is that giving you an indication? Now, this doesn't tell you what we've seen some of these regional Fed reports where they actually tell us what the percentage increase in prices is. It's just telling us 10% of firms increased or received higher prices. It doesn't tell you that they're receiving enough to cover the increase in prices paid. Number of employees remains, you know, fairly flat. Average work week only up 1.8%. So you've had this big backlog. You have a shipment is slowing down and you're not seeing hiring going on. Kind of tells you that maybe the factories realize that demand is perhaps peaking. How about we move over to the Philadelphia Fed? So here we have April versus March, previous months. So this would be March. April's are going to be over here. And we see the percentage increase, no change, decrease. And we get the diffusion index. And what do we see? Percentage of firms showing an increase in new orders, 36%. General business activity, 50% showing an increase. Shipments, 25% of firms showing an increase. Unfilled orders, 27%. So these are all higher except for new orders, but still, they're still showing nice increases. Delivery times, pretty much unchanged, but 27, almost 28% of firms showing an increase there. Inventories up, prices paid while up. Now, this is really key, because remember, we've been talking a lot about this peak in prices paid in the ISM as your peak, and that then you get that 2 month lag to the peak of consumer prices, and then the whole thing rolls over and the bond market sniffs it out. You know, it's really good about that. Prices paid, here's the recent peak, 72.6 in March, 69.1. Now granted, 69.1% of firms said, yeah, we increased our prices, but it's fewer than the month before. You know, what is our driver of that perhaps going to be? Well, wouldn't we then also want to look at, say, crude oil, right? So you have the dollar, that's a factor. You know, the dollar's, you know, been rising, you know, slowly since January. But how about crude? Well, look at crude. It's getting stagnant. And if crude has been this big move, if this is the move that's driving all of these commodity prices higher, which energy prices so far have indicated they are, well, in order to believe that prices were going to head higher, you would expect to see not only crude higher, but perhaps the dollar lower, and we're not. We're seeing crude kind of top here. It could go higher, but at the moment we're seeing that happen, and we come back to this chart over here, and we see, okay, prices paid. Is this potentially now, you know, we look at probabilities, is this peaking potentially? The answer is yes. Prices received, 34% of firms, you know, said, hey, we got higher prices. Number of employees, 30% of firms added employees. Average work week, 29.8% of firms increased their work week. So, you know, apparently, you know, again, you're seeing pretty good news here. What we don't know is just, are they back to normal production levels? I don't know that they are. But overall, great reports. I mean, and yet the bond market went up. How about retail sales? Month over month, 9.8%, year over year, staggering 28.16. So you look at advanced retail sales, and this is the whole history on this, going back to 1993, and you kind of, you know, gee, why did perhaps the bond market rally that day? It could be because how do you best this, right? I mean, look at relative to, you know, history, how do you best this? And that becomes a really interesting question there. Taking a look then at industrial production, you know, only up 1.2% in March on a year-over-year basis. If you take a look at it from the chart and you think, why are people driving up industrial stocks when industrial production is right pretty much where it was at the peak of the dot-com crisis, the peak here in 2015, and it's not making new all-time highs. So people are bidding stock prices up as if industrial companies are going to make a ton of money, and yet at the same time, their production is nowhere near all-time highs. I find that very interesting. Let's take a look at the capacity utilization rate. So why is this important? Because this tells you what percentage of the factory sector is being utilized. So if you owned a factory, what this is saying is 74.4% of your capacity is being utilized. Now, does it ever get to 100? No. But where do you get inflation? Well, you start to get that at the 80% level. So you'd want to see, you know, looking back and at say 2006 and seven, you know, you start to get inflation when the factory is at 80%, because, you know, it's pretty hard to get a factory running at 100%. And you can see historically it's been close to 90. It's been in the low 80s. And right now it's at 74.4, a far cry from 80, and no sign of inflationary, you know, pressures in the factory. And you say, okay, well, wait a minute then, you know, what's with the order backlog? Well, maybe if you can't get your shipments out, you know, what's the point of, you know, making more product if you can't get what you've already got built out to the customers? So yeah, your backlogs are building up and you're just hoping to get that supply chain back rolling, and so you can get your production rolling out, you know, through the system. But you're not seeing pressure in the capacity sector or in factory utilization at all, none at all. How about the 4 and 8 week bill auction? So if you're looking for, you know, demand for short-term treasuries, remember long-term treasuries have a extremely high correlation with the short end of the curve. Strong demand in these auctions because yields are at 0.1 and 0.15 respectively for the 4 and 8 week. How about we take a look at long-term treasuries, and we see overall the demand for treasuries by foreigners dropped a little bit last month. There was a big deal notated that China increased its purchases. Well, you know, if you kind of wonder, like, well, what's driving that all of a sudden? Remember, when all this COVID thing started, where did it start? It started in China. What country reopened first? China. And what did they do? They just crammed their factories and said, let's crank out product, let's flood the channels, the supply chain. And, you know, in the global economy, if you think about how dollars move through the system, you know, the world global or the world liquidity cycle, you know, who is likely getting dollars? Well, when you get dollars, they become inflationary. If you get too many of them, so what do? You buy treasuries. So it makes sense, but it appears that the pace of selling, you know, it was down from January, up from December, still up from November. So it appears, you know, this pace of selling is slowing down. And that's good because it's an indication that perhaps the global economy is no longer contracting. Remember, you know, the thing everyone gets wrong about the bond market in terms of foreign purchases is, you know, foreign central banks buy treasuries when they have too many dollars. Well, how do you get too many dollars? Through an expansion of global trade, through an expanding global economy. When you have a shortage of dollars, well, what do? You sell those treasuries to get dollars. So when you see, you know, foreign held treasury securities going down, it tells you that the economy is shrinking. A lot of people get that backwards. Let's go on to, let's see, today's data. What do we have in today? Ooh, Eurozone CPI. They should be up. Yep. Year over year in March, 0.9 to 1.3. Again, you know, probably due to the weaker dollar. Building permits up, but look at this, housing starts. Bam, 19.4% increase after an 11% contraction last month. I mean, wow. Inflation expectations from the University of Michigan survey, I think they're 9-year high, but don't worry. Consumers never get that right. Let's take a look at the primary dealer statistics. I'm kind of interested in this lately because people say, you know, there no one wants bonds, and apparently an error has occurred. So we'll try to refresh. Oh, site is under maintenance. Well, so much for that. We will move on to, we'll take a look at that on Monday. Hopefully I remember what's going on with assets and liabilities of commercial banks. I couldn't get the charts because the Fred database wasn't going to update. Bank credit up $10 billion. Securities and bank credit up just about, looks like $3 billion. How about mortgage-backed securities? Well, they declined by 15, but no one wants to buy treasuries except the banks, up $10 billion from there. Loans and leases down $17 billion. Real estate up $8 billion. And we've got commercial industrial up 11. And how about consumer loans? This is interesting here. Consumer loans are down, it looks like, about $5 billion. But this is interesting. You see, you know, credit cards are down $5 billion. Consumer loans are down $3 billion. But look at that, consumer loans or credit card loans down, looks like $6 billion. So, you know, you see this big print in retail sales, right? Bam, all this money. And at the same time, people are so confident about their financial future, pay down their debt. And that's a big indication of how consumers aren't confident about what's going on at all. So there you go. You get retail sales jump, credit cards dump. That's not the way you want to see it. You want to see retail sales jump, credit card sales jump with it. Now, how about cash assets up almost $200 billion, some probably around $170 billion. And what does that tell you? Well, it tells you money's piling up in banks due to stimulus checks. And what do commercial banks that are recipients of that have to do? That they have to buy treasuries, because that's how QE works. They got to create bank reserves so that the Fed can change the nature of those reserves by swapping them. At some point, we need to talk about why banks aren't lending against those, but we'll save that for another day. Stay tuned to Sunday for the chart show. I really want to talk about what's going on in bonds in terms of momentum and all that. A lot of big things going on there. And then, of course, we'll be back Monday for the macro show. Thanks for being fans. Have a great weekend. I'm Steve Van Meter. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not to provide investor or other advice. It's not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell any security, financial instrument, or participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Person passing opinions expressed in this video that I do not affect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.